KXSS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Families returning after evacuations in Florida not knowing if they'll have a home to return to. On Siesta Key, the Towle family's house still standing after Hurricane Milton, but their roof severely damaged. Lee says she expected to see much worse.
We really were expecting to see the whole place just gone, but to come home and also find four of the units completely missing their roofs wasn't exactly pleasant either.
Across Florida, 1.5 million customers without power. That's down from 2 million last night. 22 people were killed overnight in Jabalia on the West Bank in Israeli airstrikes, said according to the Gaza Ministry of Health, the IDF ordering that city to be evacuated now. Vice President Kamala Harris releasing a doctor's letter this morning saying that she's in excellent health. Former President Trump's campaign pointing to previous letters released by former White House physician Representative Ronnie Jackson and his first personal physician. This is ABC News. 22 people were killed overnight in Jabalia in the West Bank in Israel as Israeli airstrikes continue, according to the Gaza Ministry of Health. The IDF this morning ordering that city to be evacuated, indicating the attacks will be part of a longer operation. Another 22 people at least killed in Israeli strikes in central Beirut. Local reports that a Hezbollah official was the target. The federal government extending more help to homeowners affected by summer hurricanes.
People whose properties were damaged by Hurricane Helene, who had coverage through the federal flood insurance program but let it lapse before the storm hit, may be able to renew it and still be covered. The Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, says certain policyholders in seven states affected by Helene now have extra time to renew their coverage. Usually there's a 30-day grace period after policies expire. The agency is extending that until November 26th.
That's ABC's Chuck Sievertson. I'm Dave Packer, ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WISS News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anytime at the WISS website at WISS.FM.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Congresswoman Summer Lee.
The American Stability Act doesn't just address the need for raising of the wage. The second thing is that tax reform piece, shifting the burden from the folks who are working class to the, not just the 1%, the 0.01% of people who have seen so many benefits in this rigged system, and we have to start to unrig it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Native American tribes in Wisconsin are bringing back the traditional wild rice harvest. Mike Moan reports.
Closely intertwined with indigenous culture and identity, this important resource was decimated after the arrival of European settlers. But today, many partners are supporting initiatives to restore wild rice beds. Joe Gravine leads such efforts for the Lac du Flambeau Band of Lake Superior Chippewa Indians in northern Wisconsin. He says as their work began to produce positive results, it was a joy to see excitement among fellow harvesters.
They'll see that abundance of rice that hasn't been there for 20 years, that smile on their face, the energy that they give off.
Over the past couple of centuries, activities like indiscriminate logging, dam building, and mining played a role in wiping out the presence of wild rice. Despite the recent revival, new threats like climate change have emerged that could affect the plant's future. That's prompted calls for more research and funding to build on recent success stories. Gravine suggests they're at a crucial point in scaling up harvesting, noting that inconsistent weather patterns complicate the management plans.
You know, we're getting these major storms, rainstorms, whatever, you know, right when the rice is ripe.
In some cases, teams are combining emerging data with cultural instincts to monitor growing trends and get a sense of how future seasons will play out. Many partners are supporting the restoration work, including state, federal, and intertribal agencies, universities, and non-government organizations. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. This story was produced with original reporting from Swarthy Rahman for Mongabay.
This is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With weather, I'm Corey Hartman. Mostly cloudy today. Chance of afternoon showers and highs in the upper 50s. For tonight, slight chance of a shower, a low of 44. Showers are likely for Sunday with a high of 56. Winds out of the northwest up to 25 miles per hour at times. Sunday night, showers and 38.
Right now, it's 55.
Maggie Dawn.
Next, I'm joined by Will Ragland, Center for American Progress Action Fund's Vice President of Research. We're going to talk about Trump's failed record on manufacturing. Don't miss
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Might have a little dirt on my boots, but I'm taking you uptown tonight.
What is up, Wisconsin? This is Raised in Wisco. I'm Joel Clayfish alongside Shotgun Danielle Fairman.
Riding shotgun.
Do you?
I do.
You like Shotgun Danielle Fairman?
Maybe.
Why not?
I don't know.
It's not. How about Danielle Shotgun Fairman?
I don't know. No.
Shotgun Danielle Fairman, Danielle.
I feel like that
producer means Jess. What do you think?
Danielle shot Fairman gun.
Danielle,
yes, that's exactly
shot
it.
Fairgun.
Nailed it.
Danielle Fairgun. Fair gun.
There you go.
Fair gun. Danielle Fairgun.
Hey, man, this is Raised in Wisco. You can listen to us on all your Civic Media stations from the furthest corners of Wisconsin all the way down to the furthest corners in the South on all your Civic Media stations, 13 of them statewide, Saturdays at 11 o'clock. This is your one-stop shop for everything outdoors in the great state of Wisconsin. This week, I'm super jacked. I'm not going to waste any time.
But what?
Well, slow down.
Oh, hold.
You're
please
sitting
hold
right next to
I
him.
I know. Oh,
I'm
hello
so excited. Taylor Finger is the state game bird ecologist for the Department of Natural Resources. But Broski has his stuff together because I love talking to this guy.
Me too.
Not only is he the state game bird ecologist in charge of everything, all the hunting species, but he's in charge of non-hunting species and small game. He's going in an airplane tomorrow, oh, a Cessna in an airplane tomorrow to count ducks. How
count
awesome
ducks
does that sound?
You're kidding.
Yeah, about 150 feet in the air, 200 miles an hour. And yeah, just doing
how
our
in the world are you going to do that?
It's not.
You got to count them really fast.
Go, yeah. When
you get the big fox, you go more like 50, 100, 150. And
so you're kind of guessing, yeah, not guessing,
it's
guesstimating.
Yeah, absolutely.
Huh. An educated guess.
An educated guess. And I'm going to get right into our weekly Wiscos here because I had a pretty phenomenal weekly Wisco. But I'm really excited because Taylor Finger's on the show with us today. The Fall Life Pro staff member, Mike Kretschmer, is along. And sometimes fill-in guest host, Mike Kretschmer, is along too. But I have a feeling here that with Taylor talking about all the stuff that he's got going on right now, I don't know if you're going to get much of a chance to talk today, Mike.
I'm going to be moral support.
You're here for moron support?
Yeah.
Perfect. That's perfect.
I like that.
Well, yeah, once in a while, I include myself in a
I'll
bunch,
take whatever
bunch of
support
morons
I can get.
That's the spirit.
Just not athletic support.
Not from me.
Joel Clayfish. We are 3 minutes in. We're already
was
far
it, does
away
that count as a
rail
dad joke? Does that count as a dad joke?
No, that's no more of a
it's
good
kind
joke
of a dad joke. A
that's
little
a
bit
good joke, not a dad joke.
That was funny.
Hey, I do play kickball on Friday nights, just to let you know. So there's a little bit of athleticism out of me.
Is there
really? Do you use all of your 1% there of athleticism on the Thursdays that you play kickball?
It's Fridays. It's beer league, co-ed. It's fun.
Yeah. Okay.
Enjoying Wisconsin's
weather.
I'll
go ahead and take your word for it while I'm sitting in the deer stand. Okay.
Yeah. Well, we have better things to talk about than me playing kickball right now. This guy's full of knowledge here. So that,
I want, you know what? So kickball is your weekly Wisco. You play kickball. And obviously it never surprises me, or I should say, I guess it never surprises me the weird sports that end up being popular in Wisconsin.
How is kickball weird? Well, when was the last time you
played
kickball?
Something you played when you were a little kid.
So like an elementary situation. Or dodgeball.
Kickball, pickleball now is like this massive thing.
I know, there's like two courts within a block of me.
Well, and in pickleball, all it really is kind of like a miniature slow version of tennis, really. I mean, I've never played it, but that's what it looks like.
Ping pong.
It's a lot easier.
Okay,
all
right. Huge ping pong.
Jumbo ping pong.
Yeah.
Miniature tennis or jumbo ping pong. Why are you laughing, Taylor?
Because I do my Thursday league, Horseshoe League. So,
my gosh. See? Horseshoe League. Now, do you actually have to be a grandpa to play Horseshoe League? Or?
My wife and I are by far the youngest people.
I can't imagine. And you're 67, so.
I actually do Monday night bocce ball up at Timmer's on
you
Big
do
Cedar
not.
Lake.
See, that sounds awesome.
That
love
is fun.
Bocce ball.
And I am definitely
are most
the youngest.
Of the people Italian there?
German, Italian. It's definitely a late crowd. And
did you just say Italian?
Italian.
Yes, he did.
Okay, that is like I'm a linguistic freak, and I cannot handle when people
Italian?
Say Italian.
Is it brats or sausages?
Well, it's brats. Brats are a type of sausage, but an Italian sausage is Italian,
okay,
not Italian.
Italian.
You Italian.
We all Italian.
We all. Oh my gosh. Jess, can you please mark down that Danielle just had a dad joke?
Yeah. Yay. I'm going to formally write that one down in my notes.
Danielle, what's your weekly Wisco?
Birds are not the only thing that flies.
Birds are not the only thing that flies. This sounds more like a bad riddle.
So I went out dove hunting.
Okay.
And it was a great time. Fantastic. We harvested, I don't know, about 6-7 doves.
Beautiful. They're delicious.
They are delicious. Bandit retrieved his first dove. It was fantastic.
Awesome.
We get to a different spot and where we're going to puddle jump. And then we decided, there's not really many.
What is puddle jump?
Puddle jump is where,
Jump shooting?
Yeah, jump shooting.
Okay, all right.
Jump shooting.
I gotcha.
And then,
jump shooting, for those of you who don't understand what that means, you sneak up on a pond or a body of water or a puddle. And you spook whatever wildlife is on it that is harvestable during that season, and you attempt to shoot it before it gets away.
So we were walking, and then all of a sudden they got up and flew away before we even got a chance. No big deal.
What were there? Ducks?
They were just ducks, yeah.
Okay.
They were just ducks.
I love ducks.
They were ducks. And we go back up and put everything in, and then a farmer comes out and starts talking. And I'm like, oh, great. Started talking for a little bit. I get back in my truck. My boyfriend Josh and I get back in the truck and drive off. 33 minutes all the way back to the house.
Okay.
I go to back up the driveway and I realize that my tailgate is still open.
Oh no.
So what did we lose on the way?
I had my duck decoys, my dove decoys. I had a dozen goose decoys, but I had the goose bag, decoy bag, so that was totally fine. I had my dove. More dove mojo decoys, guns, ammo, like the whole shebang.
Did anything fall out?
Just one dove decoy. One of them.
Oh, those are like $2.
Oh, wow. I know. But out of all the things, and Bandit's new collar, his Garmin collar, it was all back there, and it was just sitting on the back of the tailgate.
I would like to call that a win.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would take that as a win all day.
A dove decoy, just one. They blew it up, and it was all the way back to where we started.
So your weekly Wisco is that God was looking down upon you while you were driving like a bat out of hell with your back tailgate open.
I gunned it across a couple ways because there was a dump truck and a trailer coming. He was going to turn left. I was like, oh, I'll be courteous and cross so he does not have to make a super wide turn.
I think that's a pretty good memorable thing from the week.
Oh, my goodness. Right?
I would take it for sure.
And then dove for dinner.
Dove for dinner. Okay, my weekly Wisco is that, now for those of you who know me, you know my passion is waterfowl hunting, turkey hunting, and traveling to hunt big game species. But I love sitting in a deer stand. I really do love sitting in a deer stand. I will sit in a deer stand. I'll bring my computer along. and I will do emails. I'll do work while I'm in the deer stand. So I get in the deer stand. Now I'm out of, you know, we eat only wild game at our house. Mm-hmm. And we've had a prolific early goose season. I've killed a lot of geese. We've eaten them all. I'm still not at my possession limit because we eat so much of it. We're going to talk later in the show about the goose Philly cheesesteaks I made. Taylor Ooh, Finger, Mike Kretschmer. I fed them. Producer Jess tried it today. We brought in a little bit for her.
It's so good.
Oh, that makes me so happy. Especially for someone that we're, you know, Danielle and I are going to be exposing to hunting this year. I'm so excited about Jess trying the wild game and actually liking mm-hmm. it. I mean, we want to dispel the myths that wild game doesn't taste good because it really is some of the best meat you can ever eat. We'll get to that. But my weekly Wisco is I was sitting in the blind and about 10 minutes after, and I meant to sit in there, watch the sunset, get some work done. 10 minutes after I was out there and I'm out of, I don't have any venison in the freezer, deer venison. I'm out. And a doe came in, right, like a nice mature doe came in, you know, 5 minutes into my sit. And so I had my vertical bow. I hunt only with a vertical bow, and you can have whatever opinions you want about that. But it's an old Matthews Z7 from, you know, I don't know, it's probably 12 or 13 years old already. But I can't give it up because it was such a nicely made bow. That was just a great bow by Matthews, a Wisconsin company. Mm-hmm. And so I stood up real carefully, wound up, and put a perfect kill shot on it. So my weekly Wisco is I harvested a doe is going to feed my family, until that runs out. And I'm pretty excited about that. And now that it's just Becky and me at the house, I end up inviting a lot more people to come over and eat. But nothing makes me happier than sharing wild game. So So that was my weekly Wisco. I'm going to ask Taylor Finger, state game bird ecologist for the DNR, what his weekly Wisco is, but I'm guessing it's tomorrow.
I get to get up and fly Green Bay for aerial duck surveys. I'll fly the entire Bay of Green Bay, counting anything and everything all the way from the southern end of the shore all the way up to the UP of Michigan.
Wow.
That is really exciting.
Is that a whole day? 8 hours?
Yeah. What do you? We'll probably start at about 9 and we'll probably get done at about 2:30, 3 o'clock.
Do you get nervous? Go ahead, Dad.
I was like, can anybody else join? Can I call
It's a small plane. It's
I
a
could
small
call it and stick to work.
Yeah. It's
you know, there
tight
are
there.
Applications available to work for the Department of Natural Resources, Danielle.
That would be nice.
I don't know if the positions are going to pay you the ching you make as a heavy equipment operator.
Probably
I'll tell
not.
You that. I see your new truck and your trips to South Africa now. I mean,
I know, I'm so
buying
excited.
Decoys. This
just
makes me
the
happy.
Dream now.
Well, it makes me very happy. And I don't think there's any better way to spend your money in the world to spend money than on the outdoors. And that's what I love so much. I'm so excited about that. So, Kretschmer, you had a good week?
Yeah.
What'd you do? Anything crazy in the outdoors?
I sat in the tree stand a little bit. You know, I watched the weather and it didn't prevail, but I got my eye on one or two good ones out there and I'm about ready to fill the freezer like you did. So
well,
it's getting there.
I'm really excited to talk to Taylor Finger, state game bird ecologist, about the populations of waterfowl this year, what we can expect, what are the best ways to hide banded birds, which we ban the most of here in Wisconsin, which I didn't know. And remember how important all this stuff is to who you vote for in November, and make sure to download the Civic Media app to listen to Raised in Wisco and all your favorite shows on Civic Media at any time. And to be a voter in 2024, early voting's open. Make a plan, vote for whoever you think will represent you the best. This in every election. That's your civic duty.
Got a little dirt on my boots. Got a little dirt on my boots.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support WISS, the Valley's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
This is an important announcement for Wisconsinites who plan to vote in the November 2024 election. Leading nonpartisan economists have analyzed the economic plans of Donald Trump and concluded that he would cause inflation to rise and the economy to slow. And 16 Nobel Prize-winning economists wrote a letter warning that Donald Trump would reignite inflation with his fiscally irresponsible budgets. Donald Trump's tariff plan would act as a national sales tax, costing the average family as much as $4,000 per year. But Vice President Kamala Harris's plan would help middle-class families deal with rising costs. In her first 100 days, Kamala Harris would pass a ban on price gouging at the grocery store. And as vice president, she worked to cap the cost of many prescription drugs, including insulin, saving many families thousands of dollars per year. On the economy, the choice is clear. Vote Kamala Harris for president. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Action. www.abwt-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
State of Wisconsin, the best place in the United States to enjoy the outdoors. This is Raised in Wisco. I'm Joel Clayfish. Super D, Danielle Fairman, riding shotgun. We're not sure if we're going to go with
the shotgun
Danielle Fairman or Danielle Shotgun Fairman. You know, I know a shotgun Sarah and a shotgun Schaefer. So, I mean, I figure there's like probably a lot of people out there that have shotgun in their name. Or they like shotgun in their name.
Oh, here comes Kretschmer.
Kretschmer, what? Do you want to be shotgun Kretschmer now? Or what
about BB gun?
BB Red gun.
Little
BB
Red
gun Danielle.
I don't know.
BB gun Danielle.
Pew pew. Doesn't quite have the same flow to it. Sounded more like a little space laser.
Could be finger gun.
Finger guns. Pew pew. What about... what about like Slingshot Steve? I feel like there has to be alliteration in a good outdoor nickname. I feel like there's got to be some kind of...
I mean, most good nicknames. Like, you gotta have
what's
a
up,
bit of
everybody?
That.
I'm Jump Shooting Joel. I mean...
Jump Shooting Joel. Look at you go. I feel like you planned that one out.
I didn't.
You were waiting
thinking about it for a long time.
I did not.
He's been in his back pocket for like 2 years.
And on the show tonight, we've got Cormorant Corey.
Cormorant Kretschmer.
Let's go over to Merganser Mike Kretschmer. And Dingo Danielle. Wait, does someone?
No. The dingo ate your baby.
Nobody hunts dingoes, do they? Can you hunt dingoes? You might. Jess, what would be your outdoor nickname?
Oh, no.
How about,
girl, that
I don't know, what's something
that, just
what's
just.
Something we hunt in the outdoors that starts with a J?
Jackalope.
Jaguar.
Jackalope Jess.
Jackalope Jess. I'll take it.
Jackalope Jess.
Yeah.
We're going to go to the North Woods where the sightings of the Bigfoot stands to Jackalope Jess.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. We have a really good guest on. Let's
I know.
Get to
Look,
it.
Listen to Kretschmer reeling us in.
Oh, hey, thanks, that... producer Mike.
Yeah, thanks.
You don't want me to do no producing.
Yes, we don't want the guy who speaks grammatically incorrect the most of us out here.
Italians.
State game bird ecologist. Ooh, I think I'm sweating. State game bird ecologist Taylor Finger, who is very high on the ladder in the DNR. He's very humble about himself, but this is a guy who literally helps determine the seasons for waterfowl hunting. He is part of determining bag limits, how many birds you can kill, how many hens versus, you know, drake mallards and things like that. He's going in an airplane tomorrow to do duck counts, to do waterfowl counts. Why? You know, a lot of people ask, there are fights every year between folks who hunt over the season dates and the break. Right now, I mean, this is our first day back open. This Saturday, today, is our first day back over and after a waterfowl hunting break. Why is the season structured the way it is? So many people say, let it go longer. That's when the real ducks are coming, the colorful ducks with the orange feet are coming. Why is the season structured the way it is?
So per federal requirements, where the state of Wisconsin's allowed 60 days, and then we can utilize splits and zones to try to expand that season, but still only 60 days worth of hunting. So the argument is do we use those 60 days early? Do we use those 60 days late? What do we do? And so the state of Wisconsin has roughly 65,000 waterfowl hunters. And honestly, the process that we go through is, it doesn't matter if you hunt 60 days or you hunt 4 days. Everyone bought a license, and the vast majority of our duck hunters hunt early in the year. So again, recognizing that there's the
why,
because again, they're local. We have our own local birds. We're producing our own birds.
Warmer
the
weather.
Weather's nice, and it's before bow and deer hunting season.
Ah, I think that makes a big difference.
And again, but the avid people are out there. The ones that are hunting in December want to shoot those plumed out birds. They are very, very avid, but they represent a very small number of duck hunters that are actually out there.
What he's talking about.
Seeing the whole white snow coming down and the ducks flying in, is, I don't think that gets better. I'd rather see that than the fall background.
I've had some of my best days of duck hunting was when I wasn't duck hunting. Like, it was,
oh, yeah.
We were goose hunting and the mallards are just pouring into your spread and you are crying because you cannot pull the trigger. And that frustrates me as an avid outdoorsman. That I could give you all of October. Just give me that last 2 weeks of November, first 2 weeks of December. Give me 30 days, and that's all I want. But there's other sides of people love shooting the wood ducks. People love taking the kids out. People love just
not
all over.
Freezing their rear ends right. off while and, they're out there.
And honestly, the amount of birds that move through the state in October far exceeds the amount
Come
of
on.
Birds that are here in December.
Really?
It's just that those birds that are here in December, again, typically ice is starting to freeze up, so then they show up in places.
They're showing up in tighter spots because there's less available
water.
You
see, 10,000 mallards and think, oh, my God, the migration's finally come. But we know that 500,000 birds migrated through the state in October.
Wow. I guess I never looked at it that way. I never looked at it that way. I'm a field hunter, so I don't have a boat. I field hunt. The birds that are around, I mean, waterfowl hunters right now who are chasing ducks are in marshes or on boats. On bodies of water. Because right now, there's not a lot of crops off yet. Farmers are just starting to take field corn. Now, they took some corn early for, silage, feed their cows.
But there's not much left on the ground for the birds when they do that.
No, there's not much left. And you don't really see, why don't you see waterfowl ducks, rather? I mean, you see plenty of geese out there on cut soybean and on wheat. Why don't you see ducks in the fields early?
Because right now they're just feasting in all of the awesome submerged aquatic vegetation, the wetland plants, the moist soil plants. The point of us managing wetlands is for that really good quality wetland food. And right now there's an absolute pile of it out there. Until all the birds come and eat it all up, then they have to move to that waste grain in the fields.
Hmm. Man, he's so smart about all this, isn't he?
I would say that's like me, going from the
couch. No, wait a minute. That's a horrible transition.
Yeah.
I said
smart.
He's so smart about
I'm
this.
I'm saying like going from the couch to the refrigerator
right.
versus going from the couch to the grocery store. Like, you're going to go to the refrigerator first before you go to the grocery store. So I think they're kind of, on a sense, lazy. They're going to eat the, right?
Yep. the low-hanging fruit. I mean, again, this
that.
Is where I got to stay until I don't have anything left, and then I got to start looking.
I've said that a lot of times. If you want to be a good hunter, and I won't say I'm a good hunter. I will say that I put a lot of effort into hunting. I scout like crazy, and I spend a lot of time in the beginning of the day before I go to work hunting. I won't say I'm a great hunter, but one thing that I think people underestimate is that animals are a lot like electricity. They will follow the path of least resistance. You want to find deer, find the trails that lead to the food and water. You want to find ducks and geese, find the closest spot between water and food and cut them off. I think that is if there were any bit of advice I could give on to a new hunter or even a seasoned hunter is see what the path of least resistance for that animal to get from their roosting to their food and water, and you're going to end up having success out there. I can't wait to talk to Taylor Finger, state game bird ecologist, more about the banding in Wisconsin. And this is a fascinating thing to me because shooting bands is something that's exciting for waterfowl hunters. And we're going to talk a little bit about the small game hunting in Wisconsin and what that means. Plus, our recipe of the week, woo, Philly goose steak. Can't wait.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for Matt and Air on Air.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Families returning after evacuations in Florida not knowing if they'll have a home to return to. On Siesta Key, the Toll family's house still standing after Hurricane Milton, but their roof severely damaged. Lee says she expected to see much worse.
We really were expecting to see the whole place just gone, but to come home and also find four of the units completely missing their roofs wasn't exactly pleasant either.
Across Florida, 1.5 million customers without power. That's down from 2 million last night. 22 people were killed overnight in Jabalia on the West Bank in Israeli airstrikes, said according to the Gaza Ministry of Health, the IDF ordering that city to be evacuated now. Vice President Kamala Harris releasing a doctor's letter this morning saying that she's in excellent health. Former President Trump's campaign pointing to previous letters released by former White House physician Representative Ronnie Jackson and his first personal physician. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
It's the Bucks and the Bulls. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Milwaukee Bucks getting ready to host the Chicago Bulls Monday night. Milwaukee still looking for their first win in the preseason. They're 0-2. College football, the Wisconsin Badgers playing at Rutgers today. We'll have a recap of the game coming up tonight. NFL, Packers placing tight end Luke Musgrave on injured reserve. He'll be out at least 4 weeks due to an ankle injury. The Packers hosting the Cardinals tomorrow. And wide receiver Romeo Doubs spoke to reporters for the first time since he was suspended last weekend for one game. Doubs did not want to go into details, but said it was a personal struggle. Has he been in contact with his family?
Yes, I got the family together again. I said there were some things going on off the field. So as far as just the organization, staff, players, there's nothing going on. So I just want to make myself clear there. But again, if you're just talking about the moment, I'm just thankful that I'm still here. It's a great staff, great players, great support. So
that's Packers wide receiver Romeo Doubs with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
With weather, I'm Corey Hartman. Mostly cloudy today, chance of afternoon showers and highs in the upper 50s. For tonight, slight chance of a shower, a low of 44. Showers are likely for Sunday with a high of 56. Winds out of the northwest up to 25 miles per hour at times. Sunday night, showers and 38.
It's 57 at our studios.
Autumn is in the air, and like the leaves, prices are falling at Harbor Freight's parking lot sale. Going on now. We've got tons of products on sale, like 3-ton jacks for under $100, 5,000-watt generators $250 off, plus dual bevel miter saws at nearly half the price of the competition. Whatever you do, do it for less at Harbor Freight. Valid until 10/13/24. While supplies last, so hurry in. Limitations apply.
Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
A little TLC is about to go a long way for a boardwalk bridging Kaukauna to the Fox River. The Nelson Family Fund giving the city a $240,000 grant. It will be used to replace more than 2,700 feet of the 1,000 Islands Environmental Center boardwalk. And there's a lot of work planned.
The replacement of the boardwalk itself, it's aging, we have sagging spots. But what that will do is it's going to shore it up. It's going to raise the entire boardwalk up off the ground level.
That's the center naturalist Brad Garrity. They call the area a beautiful destination, and with these upgrades, it will also be safer and more accessible to all by early next year. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
Most people out here think that taking care of one another is important. And most people would step up for a neighbor going through a tough time. Most people around here help out friends and family when they need it. But the funny thing is, most of us won't look for help when we need it. Talk to someone if you're struggling with mental health, because most people out here really care. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On Monday's show, John Kramer with the Green Bay Press Times joins us to share details on his trip to Washington, D.C.
And Michael Friedman from Simple Life Hospitalities in to talk about rental properties for the upcoming draft. Join us.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're shining down on me, showing me the way. Angel in the night, here to save the day. Like a light out of the dark, straight across the sky. Up there in that starlight.
Everywhere across the great state of Wisconsin, you have an opportunity to get your fill of the outdoors on Raised in Wisco. Heard Saturdays on Civic Media stations from the far northern reaches of Wisconsin all the way to the Illinois border on your Civic Media stations. Saturdays at 11 o'clock, Joel Clayfish here running the ship with the first mate, Danielle Fairman, at here. My side. And I only say that in jest because half the time she and Jess are really running things and I'm just along for the ride.
Yeah, you might have the title, but we all know yeah, who keeps the ship running.
We all
running.
Know who wears pants.
I'm not sure what... You do know the woman I'm married to, right? I always say...
She's pretty
yeah, my wife was the lieutenant governor of Wisconsin for 8 years.
She and wears
I always
the pants.
Tell people, Becky used to be my wife. Now I'm just her husband. And that's just perfectly okay with me. I have no problem with authority whatsoever. Producer Jess has got things in line for us. Really appreciate her. Appreciate Danielle
Absolutely.
Having you along. Raised in Wisco is your place to find out about the outdoors of Wisconsin, how to use it the best you can, how to have fun, how to eat from the outdoors, and how to live a lifestyle in Wisconsin that's just plain fun and exciting. Taylor Finger is the state game bird ecologist sitting next to Mike Kretschmer. He is a pro staff for the Fowl Life and one of my hunting buddies since I started hunting at the tender age of 38 years old. Taylor Finger has his hand, has his finger on the pulse.
Oh,
yes. There it is. I've been close to it right at the start.
Yeah.
I can't believe.
We almost went a whole show without one.
Without a dad joke. I can't believe I haven't been using that throughout the.
Seriously.
Hey, Taylor Finger's got his fingers in so many pots across the state when it comes to waterfowl and
keep
small
them
game.
Keep them coming. Keep them coming.
I bet you've heard all. You probably heard all.
Yeah. I rode the school bus my entire life. So again, I.
You heard them all.
Kids were mean, so yeah, aww. Absolutely. No.
Well, you know what? Guess who got the last laugh?
Right.
You're like in charge. Are you ever like, so this guy's like in charge of when the duck and goose seasons are, when the breaks are, how many things you can get in your bag limit. He's in charge of, he bans birds. He's banded thousands of birds himself. Which is so fascinating to me.
I really want to know how that process is.
Well, yeah, that's a great question.
Like, in my head, you just had the netting gun, yeah. Pow.
Yeah, no, so we have a couple of different options here in Wisconsin. So we have their walk-in traps, which essentially are just confusion traps that we put corn in there, and they walk in, and then they can't figure out how to get out. So again, yeah, that one's a
that sounds like me in my living room.
Yeah. It's a small operation, but the other stuff that we have, we use cannon nets, which essentially we have shotgun shells full of gunpowder that are attached to weights that are attached to nets. And then we put out a truckload full of corn and the birds will get up on it. And once we hit the button, it lights the propellant, throws the weight over the top of them, and then the net lays over the top of them. So
okay.
And then
okay.
How do you go? Do you just...
Then you just scramble.
That sounds so fun.
Yep.
Oh, I want to
shooting nets at birds.
Yeah. Yeah, can we do that?
Oh, it's a sit and wait, and you're like, oh, is there enough on there? Is there enough on there? And then all of a sudden you shoot, and you're like, oh, there's 500 birds on the net. Now we got to
no,
work.
No, how yeah. big is the
oh,
net?
Oh, my gosh. Oh,
it's, I mean, in some cases, it's like a 40-foot net, 50-foot net.
Wow.
Across.
Oh, my yep. gosh. That is so
then you've
great.
Just got... a bunch of birds under a net.
Yeah, and then
what
we have we got 20 volunteers, and we all pull them out. We put them in little boxes, get probably 10, 12 birds in a box, and then you just sit there and you just ban these ducks for the next hour and a half, 2 hours.
Do you just tuck them under your elbow like a football?
Yeah, how do you ban them? Like, do you grab them and squeeze them like
grab
a football?
Them, you look at the wing, you look at the bill, and then if you have to open them up to sex them, you know, in terms of seeing if it's a male or female. We have to get adult versus juvenile, and then, we put a metal band on them, and we use that information to show harvest, like, are we shooting more hens than drakes? Are we shooting more adults than juveniles? And that goes into the entire process for how we set the seasons.
Wow.
So is there a banding mechanism? Is there like a pliers that you use
to
band them?
You can buy special
band. Them?
No, you can buy special banding pliers, but in most cases we just use regular pliers or needle nose pliers or whatever
and
someone's
just,
coming
with.
It has
to be so loud.
Okay.
Yeah, for geese it's very loud. For ducks it's not too bad.
What else do you band?
So the state of Wisconsin bans.
I was going to add, that's a good question. Do you only ban hunted species?
There's a lot of raptors. We banned eagles. We banned osprey. We banned a lot of those birds. If we catch certain things for owls, we'll ban those. We were talking a little bit earlier. There's banning pelicans. There's banning all.
What's the toughest thing or the weirdest thing you banned?
About pelicans. Pelicans are
why is it pelicans?
What is it about pelicans?
Because when you get on a site where they typically are, which is a colonial nesting site, if you're getting them for research, their mechanism for defense is to throw up.
What?
And
sounds effective.
And I'm gonna start using that as a defense mechanism when I'm uncomfortable.
And it gets worse because when they throw up, they have leftover food in that bag, that pouch, and it's got maggots and stuff like that. So
a minute. When a pelican throws up, it's barfing maggots
and food and whatever else it can throw at you.
Oh, that's the worst
thing I've ever heard.
So you got to take a shower right after you're done doing that.
How many pelicans
you wear
are you?
Protection. It's all plastic. You don't wear anything you want to have. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
How
you know that
pelicans?
Feeling you get like in the back of your throat when you're going to, that like Danielle is literally heaving.
She's getting hot.
Producer Jeff.
Mouth starting to water.
She's starting to sweat.
Oh no.
Okay. Real quick.
Sounds horrible.
For the listeners, banding is an actual metal band with a number on it, correct?
Yeah, it's an aluminum band that has a unique identification number as well as a web page or website to go onto to register it. And again, it's really important for us because we spend all this time and money and effort to get at these harvest rates in terms of looking at the birds. So when a hunter comes across, and it's truly a trophy for folks, we've really made that message known, because if the higher reporting rate we can get, the more confident we have in the data.
Okay, so well, with this pelican you're banding, we're obviously not shooting pelicans.
Right, yeah. In most cases for that, that's a research project that we would be putting a band on. So if we came back year after year, you'll recapture that bird. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's that bird. So, yeah, it's
I mean, not. But some people do find them naturally dead and
right.
report the bands.
Absolutely.
As well.
Yep.
Sure. I mean, now, I can tell you as an avid goose and waterfowl hunter, there's really very few things more exciting than harvesting a bird that's got a band on it. I've seen literal fist fights break out in fields over the band.
Oh, I believe that.
Because you put them on your lanyard, and you folks have seen, if you ever watch us on Facebook on Raised in Wisco, you'll see my lanyard. It's full of bands on it.
You'll
I take
see mine.
Great pride.
It has none.
Well, none yet.
Mine has none either. I've banded thousands of birds personally, and I've never shot one.
And you've never shot a banded bird. We're going to have to change that, Taylor. Have you ever just kind of tucked one in your pocket?
No.
Come on.
No.
Really?
Oh, no. It's shady.
That would be so tempting. Kretschmer and I are looking at each other across
morals.
The table. I mean,
we've talked about
so
this
tough.
Off air, but I'm like, I've been doing it for 20 some odd years as a kid till now, and I've literally have one goose band and one wood duck band. But the cool thing is it came from Ontario, and my wood duck came from southern Mississippi. So, I mean, it's a real treat to find out where these animals are coming
to. It's
really
cool.
Yeah.
Is anybody else still thinking about this whole throwing up maggot situation? Or is it just me?
We're not going to revisit that now. We're on to banding, Daniel.
I can't stop thinking about that.
I didn't have any idea pelicans threw up on people.
Real quick, was the wood duck a drake?
Yeah,
and so this is something that we learned because we banned drake wood ducks that get banded in Mississippi and Alabama. They then fly north with a Wisconsin girl, and then that's when we shoot them. Again,
that was
certainly not the first time a man ended up dead following a woman.
Girl.
So, that's for sure.
We know.
It won't be the last.
Based on
wars
bands.
Have been started over this. Wars have been started over less.
And believe it or not, car accidents happen because of bands. Because guess what? Yeah. Crazy people like me.
Oh.
You see a dead goose on the side of the road. I've literally pulled up next to it, so opened my door. Oh, no band.
No, sorry. I'll go to the frontage road and walk up from behind it, Mike, okay? But I have stopped to check dead birds on the road to see if they have a band before.
Yeah, that's a normal practice. Absolutely.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think a lot of people do that. I mean, I have a friend who's got an eagle. He had a golden eagle band, I think.
What?
Yeah, because he found a golden eagle under power lines.
Yeah, I've banded loons, and again, really, really cool with them. They have this. It's actually a stainless steel band that we have to put a lock pinch on.
Sure.
It because their bills are strong enough that if they can get it in there, they can pull it right
no,
off.
No,
yeah. What?
Yeah.
Loons?
Oh, I mean,
so how did they figure that one out? Because
seriously, that it was gone within the first, 5 minutes of them putting it on there without the lock on. It
Unbelievable. Yeah. Loons are strong. They're crazy good swimmers, too. Yeah, people don't realize
they're like a 10, 12-pound bird. They're as big as a goose.
They don't have
the neck or the legs.
They're beautiful.
Yeah, they are cool and beautiful.
They are like an icon for northern Wisconsin. But when you don't want to see a loon is when it's chasing your musky bait next to the side of the boat.
You do not want to hook into a loon while you're musky fishing. That's for sure.
Cut the line.
Wow, that is so fascinating to me. Okay.
You're full of such knowledge.
I know. Well, he does have a master's degree. He has you have a master's from where?
Ontario.
No,
he's got a master's from Ontario. Now, did they think you have an accent up there? Because I know they've got a thick Canadian accent up in the upper reaches of Ontario.
Going out in a boat to watch the Mackie, eh? Like,
that's really good.
Well, I lived there for a couple of years.
Yeah, you went to get your graduate. So was it from the University of Ontario?
University of Western Ontario,
yep. University of what? So you have a master's degree in biology, in wildlife biology, and then you have a bachelor's degree in?
Wildlife management and biology from Point.
Okay, here's a question I have about, before we leave bands, because this is really something, I won't say, the number one reason I hunt waterfowl is for the passion of fooling Mother Nature and putting food on the table. That's fact. I eat the snot out of it, and it's delicious. I mean, producer Jess, you had a little sample of the goose Philly cheesesteak. Did you think for like even 1 second that was anything but like the best shredded beef you've ever eaten?
Yeah, I mean, it tasted like goose, but it was delicious.
Yeah, it's so good, man. Back to banding. I'm kind of back and forth because one of the things that I hunt for food and I hunt for the thrill of it, but I'm out there to try to, I love collecting bands. Now I have friends who've hunted 5 years in specific areas and they have lanyards full of bands.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Matt Wilkie, a good friend of mine, phenomenal hunter, but I said, is your entire band full? And he goes, no. My band is full, and my dog's collar is full.
No.
He's got them all around his dog's collar.
They're mostly geese, I imagine.
And they're all goose bands, and they're all because they're banded in Sheboygan near where he hunts.
Right. And the thing is, you tend to band family groups together.
Sure.
So then when you're hunting, it's a family that's flying by. So if you're going to shoot one, you're going to shoot usually a couple.
So with this whole banding situation, since he just said that he hunts where they get banded, are we banding the same area every year? Or
no,
do we go miles separate?
And for that reason, because again, we know that hunters will start targeting them, and the idea that we want to make a
then you get a
bird,
tainted sample.
We want to make sure a banded bird represents regular birds, and so we move all the way around. We try to find places that are relatively easy to band because it's cost effective and things like that. But it's one of those things that we rotate in different parts of the state, and even within counties, we try to find different places.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I have a couple questions, though. You get so much information when a banded bird is killed and reported. Why don't we ban more of them?
Again, just because of the cost of doing so. So, for example, a goose banding operation, for one area might be 15 staff that have to do it. So you got to figure that's the amount of travel, the amount of cost to do it. And then if we have a quota of 400 birds, well, you only got 30 at that spot. We'll pick everything up and go get 30 and pick everything up and go get 30. So that could be 5-6 days of 15 people's time.
So here's my idea. Here's my idea. I think this is an amazing idea and I want to see it happen. Let's make this happen, Taylor Finger. Why not allow private industry companies like Banded, The Fowl Life, Jargon, Avian, why not allow them to pay for the banding, and then on the bands, they'll get a discount code to buy the product of that place. A private-public partnership where you get more bands out there, and when you shoot a band, hey, I got a banded band. I got a Foul Life band. I got a Foils band. Why not let the private sector be part of it, pay for it, and give the hunter an added benefit?
You'd have to work with the United States Geological Survey. They're the ones that handle everything. Well, so it's a federal
thing.
I
now have a connection there, and I think we're going to work on that. That's going to be awesome. And can't wait to tell you about our awesome food recipe coming up. Philly Goose Cheesesteaks, baby. Woo!
This is Oshkosh Air Support, WISS. The Todd Alba Show.
This narrative that the immigrants are coming to get you, that's fiction. Look at criminal charges in your community. And look how many of those people who have been there for years, if not decades, and how many of those people are new immigrants. And even a smaller percentage of how many are undocumented immigrants. It's not happening. It would be like going to places and say, well, you know what? I'm running for Congress to stop the zombies.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. The Dom Salvia Show.
Ann Egan Walkoff from Wisconsin Native Vote.
20 years ago, I moved to a suburb of Milwaukee. I went to register, and the woman was like, you're Indian? Indians don't vote. You can't vote.
What?
So when I'm talking to a group of Native Americans, did I tell them that story? And they're like, what? And that gets their dander up. And I'm going to go yeah, vote for sure.
Absolutely.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Fox Valley's home of Mino and the Mayor.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's been a wreck, me, we, 60 plus from dawn to dusk in the red dirt heat, busting it up for a couple of bucks, but it ain't. Just another day till I'm on my
Raised in Wisco, your statewide Wisconsin cooking show.
Yep.
It's kind of a cooking show. Every week we talk about a recipe on Raised in Wisco. How to take your wild game from the field to the table. I'm Joel Clayfish. Danielle Fairman's alongside me. We've got the Department of Natural Resources State Game Bird Ecologist. That is a mouthful. Taylor Finger with us. And we've got our sometime fill-in host, Mike Kretschmer, also part of the Foul Life pro staff and good buddy of the show with us today. And what a phenomenal show. It's been fascinating to me. Taylor Finger's got a master's degree in wildlife biology, and he is the guy in charge in Wisconsin of all the game birds. That's all the birds that are hunted and some of the species that aren't hunted, like cormorants. And as we learned, the
pelican?
Throwing up pelicans. Boy. We did not realize their defense mechanism was regurgitation.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, if you missed that part.
They're not just a pretty white bird.
We're not going to revisit that.
But no, you can by looking at the podcast.
You can by checking out our podcast. You can check out all of our podcasts, Danielle. Where?
You can check our podcast at Civic Media on YouTube, Facebook, and that is it. Correct? Yeah. Producer Jess?
Spotify.
So if you are catching the tail end of our show, please don't be afraid to download us on our podcast. And let me tell you what, you will not be disappointed, but you certainly may be surprised. You may be surprised by what you hear on the show. Nothing is really off limits, and we love that. But something we do talk about quite a bit is taking a wild game and forage from Wisconsin from field to table. Today, I'm going to talk about the recipe that I actually brought in for producer Jess to try, and that is Philadelphia Canada Goose Cheesesteak. And the way everybody's afraid, many people are afraid to cook wild game. I mean, Taylor Finger, you know, you've been in this game a while. Kretschmer, you've been in the game a while. Danielle, I'd say the four of us are not afraid to try different things with wild game. And I think the technology that's out there with the pressure cookers, mm-hmm. the spices and rubs that are made for wild game. If you are creative whatsoever or not creative, you can learn these recipes on the internet. You can check them out, you know, on the website, on Raised in Wisco, on the providerlife.com. You can check out all these recipes. Don't be afraid. Today, I'm going to tell you the most basic recipe to take any meat, wild game or store purchased, and turn it into the best shredded meat that you can use as the base of any recipe you want to make. Today, we used goose. You take your goose breasts, put them in the Instant Pot or the pressure cooker, fill them to the top with water, add a half a cup of cooking oil, a half a cup of lemon juice, and whatever spice you like. Three ingredients. That's all you need is three ingredients beyond water and your wild game or beef or pork. You let it go in the slow cooker for 8 to 10 hours until it falls apart. If it doesn't fall apart yet, it's not ready. Don't let it go way too long. Otherwise, your stock, your juice in there could burn. But when you cook something, when you cook that meat with a half a cup of oil, a half a cup of lemon or lime juice, and any seasoning you like. When it falls apart, shred it apart, put it back in the juices, stir it, and it will absorb into that meat. A lot of wild game, the problem with a lot of wild game is it doesn't have fat in it. So it has that real lean, dry protein on the inside of it. And the best way to combat that is to add some oil to it, add your acid, which is your lemon juice, lime juice, balsamic vinegar, any type of acid. Use red wine if that's your thing, and whatever seasoning you like. So I took that and I fried that in some Wisconsin butter, just to get the shredded meat a little bit crispy on the outside. Then you just take a hoagie roll and grill it, butter it and grill it. Mm-hmm. And then saute your favorite vegetables. I used red bell peppers because I think they're a little sweeter than green, and onions. I used some of my favorite Provider seasonings on that. And then we put Cheese Whiz on the top. But if you want to be more Wisconsin,
put Cheese Whiz?
That's what actual Philly cheesesteaks are made with. Did you know that?
No, they're not.
I promise you that. Look at Taylor's nodding. You know that,
cheese
right?
Cheese Whiz? Yep.
Yeah. If you get an authentic Philly cheesesteak, it's made with cheese. Did you know that?
I did not know that. But yeah. I will tell you that this sandwich was delicious.
Yeah. Just, awesome. Oh, well, so I can't just do just Cheese Whiz. I'm from Wisconsin. So
yeah, we put a little. It tasted like there was some real cheese on it.
Yeah, there's real cheese on it. I had a little Cheese Whiz on it, but then we also used some natural Wisconsin provolone and mozzarella. You know, so you just stack it on your grilled bun, grilled hoagie, add the onions and peppers. And one thing, though, that I will say, when you're grilling, sautéing vegetables, there's a fine point between too firm and mushy. You want to catch them while they're limp but not soggy. Does that make sense? Soggy
kind
vegetables.
Like the al dente for
yeah,
food.
I think that's a great example. Al dente for noodles, you want to kind of do that with your vegetables. And it turned out awesome. Taylor and Mike Kretschmer ate it today. What'd you awesome. Guys think of that?
It's stellar. For
did
sure.
you do extra Cheese Whiz?
No, Joel made them for us. They were awesome. They were, I'm telling you, I would put that as a meat guy, as you all know.
So, yeah, no, everybody doesn't know this, but Mike's job is actually meat. He's an actual meat person. He sells prime beef for a living.
All Wisconsin sourced products. And I had to question Joel. I shouldn't have had to question him because I knew it was a wild game of some sort. I'm like, is this goose or is this chuck roast? And I was 100% serious. Like, it shredded apart so well. It just was, I want it for my trip to North Dakota. I need to get that recipe down so I can take it for the
it's
guys.
And
the,
so right, easy.
The guys are going to just, jaws will drop and no bar pizza will be eating that all week long.
No, plus it's kind of magical.
Ooh, Philly cheesesteak pizza.
Ooh, that would be a good
that
idea.
That would be
wouldn't
delicious.
It? You can make wild goose Philly cheesesteak pizza.
Done. Look at that. Two recipes.
I'm in on that one
show.
For yeah. sure.
Okay, now what are we going to, what would you use for the sauce for a wild Philly cheesesteak pizza? That's the Cheese Whiz.
No.
Oh,
dear God.
Oh, Grandma Mama Clayfish, who always joins us in the lobby, is sitting. She's shaking her head. No. She can't even fathom the thought of cheese whiz in any recipe.
Just marinara.
My
marinara.
Little Italian mom.
I was going to say maybe you could do marinara. Or what's the
garlic pork.
White sauce.
Like an Alfredo type of sauce would be good, but you know what would be even better with that? If you'd make a southern gravy as the sauce.
Oh, my. Winning. Yeah,
that's the ticket. How is this possible? I just ate and my mouth is watering. That's what happens when you listen to Raised in Wisco. We love having you along on your civic media station throughout Wisconsin. Saturdays at 11. Thank you for joining us. Can't wait to share again the great outdoors with you next week on Raised in Wisco.
Oshkosh Air Support, WISS. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we're going to talk to Kelly Robinson from the Human Rights Campaign. Hour number two, donating blood, more important than ever. We're going to talk diversity. I hope you'll join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News.